My friends, just following on from that song we have just sung together, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and we will read this morning just the first 9 verses of this chapter. We have just been singing about our great high priest, and now we're going to read about him. Hebrews 5, reading from verse 1. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he has obligated to offer sacrifice for sin, for his own sins, just as he does for those of his people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you," as he says also in another place, "You're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." On the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Though he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We will end our reading just there, and before we come to consider it, let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your holy word. Thank you that we have been able to read it, we have been able to sing it, we've been able to meditate upon it already. And we ask now, Lord, that you will be pleased to speak to us through it. We look to you for help. We pray that the Spirit of God will fall upon the preacher and the people, so that we might know once again that this is God speaking to our very own soul. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Again, the title I used this morning is the same as last week. Simply, Our Great High Priest. Now, whenever we come to think about the high priest, and we think about Jesus being the high priest, unless we understand what the Old Testament teaches us about the high priest, then much of what we find here in this passage will be somewhat of a mystery to us. And so, with God's help, I want to try to look at God's word and enable us to understand what exactly is being said here. There is one truth that we must understand If we're going to understand this book of the Hebrews, indeed, if we're going to understand much of the New Testament, then without this understanding, the book, the Bible, will just not make much sense to us at all. The old without the new will be somewhat of a mystery. The new without the old will also be somewhat mysterious to us. We must understand this great truth. I know that what I'm about to say just now will be somewhat elementary to those who have been walking with the Lord and have been studying the world for a long period of time. But I ask you to please bear with me. You see, whenever we come to think of the Bible, we ask ourselves often the question, what is this Bible all about? Well, there's so much that can be said just there. But if we ask another question, which is important for what we are dealing with, who is the central person in all of the Holy Scriptures? The answer to that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We find the Lord Jesus Christ right throughout the Old Testament and right throughout the New Testament. The Lord Jesus spoke to two after his resurrection, and these two people were greatly puzzled by what had happened. They had heard that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they were wondering about it all. And whilst they were walking along the road, a stranger came alongside them. And that stranger walked with them, and later on they realized that this stranger was none other than the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And they were asking him questions and being somewhat puzzled by what had happened. And this is what he said to them. O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then Luke says this, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's a favorite verse of mine, as most of our people will know, and I come back to it again and again. It's a great help to me, as it was to these two on that day. Jesus began with Moses. That's the five books: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Beginning with Moses and then all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures what? The things concerning himself. The things concerning himself. Now that was a sermon that many people will give their right arm to hear. The sermon of the Lord Jesus, as he begins with Moses, then goes through all the prophets and all the scriptures and speaks to them about the things concerning himself. You know, the religious Pharisees really didn't like Jesus. They loved the Old Testament. They loved the books of Moses. They loved the prophets. They loved the Psalms. They said they did, but they didn't love Jesus. And Jesus said this to them. He says, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Now, in Luke 24, we read these words. "Then he," that is Jesus, "said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me," now listen carefully, "everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to do what? To understand the scriptures. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So, my dear friends, you can see, can't you, how important it is that we understand that. And as we come to Hebrews here, we will find the very same thing. I could use many other examples. Let me quickly use one or two more. Philip was sent out to the desert road to speak to a man. That man was on his chariot reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And we're told that Philip got up into the chariot, sat down beside the man, and it says Philip opened his mouth and, beginning with this scripture, he told the good news about Jesus. He told the good news about Jesus. Let me use one other before I finish. We read in Matthew these words about the birth of Jesus. "She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what? What the Lord had spoken by the prophets. "Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. 9 times in the book of Matthew, he uses this phrase, "that it might be fulfilled," "that it might be fulfilled," "that it might be fulfilled." You see, my dear friends, if we prick this book, it oozes of Jesus Christ. It oozes of Jesus Christ. This is why the Apostle Paul, when he went about preaching, he says this. He says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what was preached to save those who believe." The Jews, they demand a sign. They're saying, "Give us a sign and we'll believe." The Greeks, they are searching for wisdom, but he says, "I don't give them any of that. What do? I preach Christ crucified." A stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The very next chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says this, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech and wisdom." He didn't come as a great orator, he says. He said, "I came in this way, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, my dear friends, we find that this book that we hold in our hand called the Bible is in simple language a book about Jesus, about who He is, why He came, what He did, why we need Him. That is so important. And as we come to the New Testament and we start reading through, especially in this book of Hebrews, if we don't understand that, what I call elementary truth, if we don't understand that, then much of this book will not make any sense to us whatsoever. We read this morning these words. Every high priest chosen from amongst men is appointed to act in behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifice for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obliged to offer sacrifices for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. Now he goes on to speak of Jesus as the high priest. But if you read those verses and you don't understand something about the high priest in the Old Testament, then it will be foreign language to you. I just want to use 2 points this morning in my message that we find in this text. There's much more there, but this is what we will deal with. We want to see that the high priest is someone chosen of God. And secondly, the high priest is a caring and compassionate man. He is chosen of God, and he is a caring, compassionate man. We find that both these points very clearly in our passage. Firstly, he is a chosen and called man of God to serve the people. Let me read a couple of those verses again. Hebrews 5, 1 and 4. Every high priest chosen from amongst men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. Now we can see here in these verses that the high priest is chosen and appointed to act in behalf of men in relationship to God. There was never a time when a high priest took this honor upon himself, but only as he was called by God. Now in Exodus 28, verse 1 and 2, we read these words. Then bring near, this is God speaking, bring near to you, he's speaking to Moses, of course, bring near to you Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the people of Israel to serve me as priests. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. And you shall make a holy garment for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. And as we look at those verses there in Exodus, we see the very first high priest in the Old Testament. Now, someone might say, well, Melchizedek was before that. That's another question. But what we see just here is that the Lord speaks to Moses, and he says to Moses, I want a man that stands to represent men before me. And I have chosen Aaron, your brother, to be a high priest. Now he's going to put on very special garments, and that would be worth a study sometime. He's going to put on all these garments, and he will come and stand before me as representative of the people. Now, why is the writer telling us this? Why is the writer to Hebrews, and what is the writer to the Hebrews doing here when he's talking, first of all, in the opening verses about the high priest? Well, we read this, verse 5 and 6 of that chapter. So also Christ, just as the high priest was chosen by God and so on, so also Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So what we see just here, that just as the Old Testament priests were chosen by God and no one took that upon himself, so when the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, he did not take that upon himself, but he was chosen by the deity of God, the Trinity, as we talked about yesterday. And he was sent to be a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, I'll say nothing much about that just now, because we come to it in next chapter, a few chapters down. But just to say that Melchizedek was a man who's mysterious, without father, without mother, the writer of the Hebrews says, and without beginning, and without ending. So Jesus was a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He was chosen by God to take that position. And Hebrews chapter 5 and 6 says, so also Christ did not exalt himself to be made high priest, but was appointed by him who said of him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. It's so important that we understand that. Now, what was the high priest chosen for? What was the priest? What was he to do? What was his role in the Old Testament? Well, in Hebrews 5:1, it says, every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to do what? To act in behalf of men in relation to God. Now, that's not hard to understand, is it? To act, he was appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, and to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, that's a very simple answer to the question. Why is he chosen? What is his role? His role is to act in behalf of men in relation to God, and to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. So he was to be a mediator, a go-between. And he had a very, very important role. That is exactly, my dear friends, what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. He came. He did not take this role upon himself. He was chosen by God for it before the world in order stood, before creation, before the beginning of our world. He was chosen by God to act in this role of high priest. This is what he has come to do. Now, I need to skip for a moment, and we will get these verses later on. But in Hebrews 9:24, we read these words, "For Christ has entered not into a holy place made with hands." That means he didn't come, he didn't enter into the tabernacle as the Old Testament priest did, or he didn't enter into the temple in Jerusalem as the Old Testament saints did. He didn't enter a holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true thing, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. And I love that. We have a high priest. We sung about it just in that last hymn. To act in our behalf in the presence of God. In Hebrews 10, verse 11 to 14, we read, "Every priest stands daily at his service." This is the priests of the Old Testament. "Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices." They did it year after year after year after year, the same sacrifices, "which can never take away sin." They can never take away sin. Those sacrifices could never take away sin, but those sacrifices, every one of them, were pointing forward to Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by," listen to this, "a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Now, are you beginning to get the picture? If you haven't had it before, are you beginning to see now why it speaks of the high priest, and first of all speaks about the earthly high priest and the old economy? Now about the Lord Jesus Christ. because all of those priests were all pointing forward to the high priest that was to come after the order of Melchizedek, who would make one sacrifice for sin for all time. See, as we think about the Lord Jesus, we can see him on the cross. What is he doing just there? He's making one sacrifice for sin forever. You see, after the Lord Jesus made this sacrifice for sin as our great high priest, no more sacrifices were made for sin. Why? Because he made the one sacrifice for sin that pleased God for all eternity. So as we see our high priest, there he is on the cross. And there he is doing what the Old Testament saints, our priests did, offer sacrifice for sin. But he, as he comes to make this sacrifice for sin, he is the high priest. And as the high priest, the sacrifice for sin that he makes is himself. Having done that, he took a seat at the Father's right hand. And he's still there making intercession for his people. He's still there as our great high priest. But that's over 2,000 years ago. And there's been no more necessity for a high priest. No more necessity for a sacrifice for sin, because he has made one sacrifice for sin forever. Do you see, my dear friends? Oh, please think about it. Please meditate upon the wonder of this. As we look at all that you'll find in the Old Testament, it is all pointing forward to this time when this priest would make this one sacrifice for sin on the cross of Calvary. And there, please a holy God, and then take his seat at the right hand of God. Secondly, my last point, the high priest is a caring and compassionate man, according to what we have read. Let's read it again. Hebrews 5, 2 and 3. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward. Isn't that lovely? He can preach gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obliged to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And in Leviticus, we read these words, Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his people. Now, I want you to listen carefully to the wording there. In Leviticus 9 and 7, we read, Then Moses said to Aaron, Draw near to the altar, and offer your sin offering, and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself, and for the people, and bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded you. Now you note in every one of those three verses that I've read to you just now, the high priest had to first of all make a sacrifice for his own sin before he could come to make a sacrifice for the sins of the people. So you look at that and you think to yourself, Does that make sense then if we come through to the Lord Jesus? Did he need to make a sacrifice for sin? For himself, first of all? Oh no, my friends, he didn't. Because he never sinned. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, the scripture says, and he was separate from sin. We'll see a little bit more about that in a moment. But I want you to note what we find here in chapter 4, verse 15 of the book of Hebrews. And we read this last week. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now that's important. This high priest is completely different in so many ways, and this is just one of them. He was without sin. He had no sin. And so, if we think about what we have just read together, how does this fit in? That the high priest had, first of all, to make himself, he had to make an offering for his own sin before he could make an offering for the sins of the people. Jesus doesn't seem to fit into that picture, does he? Because he was sinless. We can understand why he would make a sacrifice for the sins of the people, but not a sacrifice for his own sin. My dear friends, here comes the most amazing fact of this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have many verses in Scripture which are my favorite verses, and this is another. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 we read. Listen to what it says. For our sake he made himself to be sin. Please note carefully. For our sake, he made himself to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I'm sure you can see why that's a favorite verse of so many people, but we must think about it. I don't pretend to understand this mystery. Yesterday at the men's Bible study, we said that we don't pretend to understand the mystery of the Trinity. I don't pretend to understand all of what happened on Calvary's cross. The hymn writer said this, and I agree with him. 'Tis mystery all. The immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? 'Tis mystery all. The immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? Peter said this. For Christ also suffered once for sin. The righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And what we see here, my dear friends, and the hymn writer puts it this way, he took my sins and my sorrows and he made them his very own. Can I quote that again? Because it's so biblical. He took my sins and my sorrows. And he made them his very own. He bore that burden to Calvary, and he suffered, and he died alone as he took my sins. Now, this high priest didn't need to make sacrifice for his own sin, but what he did, he who knew no sin was made sin. And so he died as the sin bearer, the one who takes the sins of his people upon himself. He's wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's all God's people. And so as we see the sinless Savior die, as another hymn writer says, we see him laden with sin. And he's making atonement. He's making a sacrifice of himself for the sin of his people. And he who knew no sin was made sin. And I don't understand that. Hebrews 5, 7 to 9 says, and I'm nearly finished. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Though he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. My dear friends, this passage oozes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here is this great high priest. He's acting on our behalf. He doesn't come to Calvary as someone who doesn't understand the plight of his people. He comes to Calvary fully understanding the plight of his people. That's why I love that verse that says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears. You ever think about that? We're going to sing in a minute, Man of Sorrows, what a name. Offered up with loud cries and tears. Do you see him in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you hear what he's saying to the apostles before he goes to prayer? My soul is overwhelmed, even unto death. And as he goes, he falls on his face and he cries to his Father and he sweat great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He knows what it is to suffer, my dear friends. It says he cried with great tears. And though he was son, he learned obedience. There's much there that we can't look at just now. But I want you to see him as the sympathizing Jesus. I want you to see him as the sympathizing high priest. And he knew all about our struggles. He knows all about our troubles. He knows all about our fears. He knows all about our cares. He understands. He knows what it is to bear sin, because he became the sin bearer and he suffered and he died alone upon the cross of Calvary. Here is our great high priest, and what is he doing? He's acting in behalf of his people. We're going to come to the table in a little bit, and we're going to think about it. He's acting in behalf of his people. And he is saying to his father, do you see all the sins of my people? All the sins that are going to take my people down into a Christless hell. He says, listen, I want you to take the sins of my people and I want you to put them on me, and I want to become the sin bearer. And Jesus suffered at the hands of a holy God, as the great high priest, making this one sacrifice for sin forever. And he's doing that so that his people might dwell with him for all eternity. He comes with the sacrifice for sin, that sacrifice being himself. He is the priest who offers the sacrifice, and he himself is the sacrifice that he is offering. And he who knew no sin, became sin for us. As I say, in a few minutes, we're going to meet around the table. There we will remember his cries, his tears, his sorrow, his pain, his suffering, and his death. There we own our sin. And as we look at him, we can say, Lord Jesus, you died for me. There we will remember the wrath of God as it fell upon the Savior. And we will never know, we who are truly children of God, will never know the anger of God. Because all the wrath of God that was to fall on me fell on Christ. No wonder the hymn writer says, what kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I am the guilty one, yet I go free. Oh, my dear friends, do you see our high priest? What a kind, compassionate high priest the Lord Jesus is. Let me ask you as I close, is he yours? Is he yours? Or is he just a high priest? Fascinating personality. Is he your high priest? Have you recognized your sin? Have you recognized that he died on Calvary for your sin? Have you trusted him as your Savior and as your Lord? And you cry to him, thank you, Jesus, for dying on Calvary's cross for me. Thank you for taking my sin. Thank you for being my great high priest. Thank you for making that sacrifice for sin forever. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you, my dear high priest, my Lord Jesus, that you are today at God's right hand and you're continually making intercession for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder this morning of what a high priest role is and what our high priest has done. Bless your word, Lord, to our hearts. Oh Lord, we cannot penetrate people's hearts. Only the Spirit of God can. And so we pray that the Spirit of God, the living God, will penetrate the heart of every soul. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.